He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
It's a great day here in March in Vernon. It's He Said, She Said. Welcome, everybody. How are you feeling, Trace?
I'm feeling pretty good. Thanks for asking. The month of March doesn't sound like any of the other kinds of months. March kind of sounds kind of eh.
Well, we saw some herons flying above today when we were going for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And we also saw where they were nesting.
Yeah.
So spring is in the air.
Spring is definitely in the air.
And they're laying eggs. Birds are laying eggs.
And we were walking. You took your top off. You just had your T-shirt on, and I had my T-shirt on, and it was too hot even. Wow, that's awesome in the Great White North.
Love that sun, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what's cooking?
What's cooking is wasabi salmon tin pinch. Well, this little recipe is great in a pinch. It's always a good idea to have at least one can of wild red sockeye salmon in your pantry. And this, other than the sardines, is the only thing that we really use that's canned or tinned.
Yeah, we don't use canned anything as a staple.
No. There are a multitude of recipes that you can prepare with canned salmon, but this is the one that we really, really like. And with the added avocado and freshly squeezed lemon juice, this recipe will give you a feeling of satisfaction and being well-oiled. It's a delicious, nutritious, spicy, definitely high-protein snack that's super easy to make and super fast. So it's great in a pinch. Now, canned salmon is loaded with vitamins, minerals, and healthy omega-3 fats. And as you shop for canned salmon, consider the quality and price, as well as whether it was produced sustainably and is packaged in a way that promotes wellness. So you want to shop for canned salmon and look for BPA-free can, and it should be indicated on the can itself.
Yeah, and there's some concerns about canned fish and fish in general, but I think that our standards in Canada in terms of hygiene and sanitation and production are second to none, unlike some other environments in different parts of the world where there is less quality control and GMP is not enforced. So I think that the salmon is local. This wild salmon is local right here in BC and up in Alaska, and it's caught and it's prepared and canned very, very quickly. I don't know of any additional chemicals other than some of what are added to protect the salmon itself from decomposition or spreading bacteria and botulism. That's the trade-off with anything canned.
Right. But most canned salmon includes the skin and the bones of the fish. And if you're new to canned salmon, this might put you off a little bit. You'll pay more for the boneless and skinless canned salmon. However, I'd really recommend the skin and the bone in, as this is the part of the fish that really contains a lot of the micronutrient essentials for health.
Yeah, and this snack to me is like a protein snack or shake. It's very quick. It's something that you can whip up very, very quickly. And as a bodybuilder, in terms of me being one, I'm focusing on the protein, and I can get a really good shot of protein with this snack.
Oh, yeah, a good shot of protein in a 213-gram can, like one of those little cans, 40 grams of protein. That's pretty high, and you'll feel really full on that. My thing is peas and salmon. Yeah, when we go camping, that's me, my thing. A little can of peas and a can of salmon. And I'm just really a happy camper. I just don't know why I like it. But sockeye salmon is a great source of vitamin D, niacin, folic acid, preformed vitamin A, potassium, calcium. And like people, salmon store calcium in their bones. And this is why I say make sure that you buy it with the bones in. And they're mushy anyway. It's not like eating a bone, you know. So anyways, here we go with the recipe. Wasabi salmon tin pinch. So what I do is I have a can of the wild Pacific red sockeye salmon, one whole avocado chopped into small pieces, and then I mash it up, and lemon juice, the juice of one lemon, and 1 teaspoon of wasabi or more. Now, we usually use the powdered wasabi, and we mix it in. There's paste that you can buy. Just there's different types. You know, some of them have different ingredients in them, so you want to make sure you get the cleanest possible. And mix this all into a bowl, mash it all up, and then what we do is you can add more wasabi if you like, or more lemon juice. Now, I like to roll it up in a nori wrap, a seaweed wrap. Corey likes it in one of those whole grain rye crackers that taste like cardboard. He's a happy camper with
those. Yeah, and in particular, the wasa, and that's imported from places like Denmark.
Norway,
and
yeah.
The Scandinavian countries, yeah. Where the rye is just like a staple
food
there.
Yeah, and it's really hardcore. I like a little mushier. I like these seaweed wraps. So this is just a fantastic little snack. And the avocado in there makes it a little mushy, and the lemon juice and the spiciness of it is just a really nice little snack. Now, if you want to get a little more elaborate, you can add some mango, you can add cucumber, you can add sprouts. I mean, you can go overboard and add a multitude of different things to it. But this is just our really quick little fix for us when we get
it. Yeah, then from my point of view, you're defeating the whole purpose of making it simple.
Yes.
And easy and quick.
Exactly, yeah. But that's a really good base. That's a good base. But so that's my little tin pitch.
Yeah, and that wasabi is a nice spike.
Oh,
it revs
yeah.
up the metabolic rate.
Yeah, cleans out your nose.
And I think we're both finding that as we age into the future, that we find that stimulation to be a benefit.
Yes.
One of the keys is to keep yourself active and stimulated in many different ways, mentally, emotionally, and physically, right? But with metabolic function and fat burning in mind, spices and things that are, you know, like spicy and stimulate the chemistry are beneficial.
Absolutely. And wasabi's the way to go. Put more wasabi into your diet, too.
Yeah, I like the lemon juice in there, too. Just the whole thing tastes delicious.
Mm-hmm. There you have it.
Right on. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Ms. Katie Handyside, CSNA Master. Katie lives in Spain, and she's an entrepreneur, a personal trainer, and a thrill-seeking triathlete. She loves to call the shots, which I really like. She makes her own mistakes. She doesn't rely on others. She loves to learn, and she loves to teach and move at her own pace. And as a woman of my heart, she can only stay in one spot for so long. She loves to travel. And with her CSNA background, her personal training certificate, and the love of travel, she can work anywhere in the world she chooses.
Yeah. Well, they say that everybody's a slave to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. We serve somebody. Who's that musician that said that? Yeah, Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody. Now, if the master you serve is yourself, I think that would be the one exception where I wouldn't mind being a slave. It's being a slave to the desires of others that becomes the issue. So I think Katie, like myself, she likes to live according to her own means, and she likes to take the risks associated with doing everything her own way. And she talked about those risks.
Yes, absolutely.
And sometimes she looks at those people that go to an office job and they have a so-called secure life and they get paid every 2 weeks, but that's all they ever do. They just get that amount. And they're kind of dependent on something on the outside more than themselves.
Sometimes I believe that you lose your creativity. I mean, you can do a little bit of creativity when you work for somebody else, but a lot of sometimes they get credit for it. Somebody else gets credit for it. Sometimes when the money's not flowing, that's when those creative juices flow. And I'll tell you, some of the things that can come up in your head, and you, then you create it and you manifest it and you're making money from it then, that's a really good feeling.
I think the entrepreneur lifestyle is like our origins. You have to hunt or you don't eat. You've got to do the work. There's a work ethic. And if you don't have a strong work ethic, if you're not a self-starter, if you don't believe in yourself, if you're not confident, mind you, there's people that start off without a lot of confidence and they build confidence mm-hmm. by seeing that they're capable of doing something that they never really understood or could see before.
Right. And you really have to be a good money manager, because some months are good and some months aren't so good. And you know, you're always looking for clients and you always want to service those clients. Whereas if somebody's coming into a store and it doesn't belong to you, then, you know, it's like, well, they come in, you don't have to worry about paying the rent. You know, you're going to get that paycheck every week or every 2 weeks. You know, you're going to get some income tax back most of the time. So, you know, you really have to be on the ball. And if you're not well, you can stay home and you can work from your home. I'd say the benefits outweigh the, you know, the negative, you know, so... I mean, not everybody is an entrepreneur, but Katie does a really good job of it, and we'd love to go visit her in Spain. So thank you very much, Katie, for your awesome interview.
Right on. So moving on. What's cooking with our CHI update?
Well, CHI update, let's see now. Well, for TKA Dance, Bollywood is still as popular as ever. I have to keep coming up with choreography all the time, and more people, new people are coming in. It's great. I get all shapes and sizes. And it's very challenging, I'm telling you. It's not what I thought it was going to be. I have a whole new respect for it. Little Riley has got 8 teeth now, and she's sitting up, and she can crawl forward now, and she can go to the sitting position, and she got her first little boo-boo on her forehead with a little bruise yesterday.
We all knew it was coming.
That was a major ordeal in the family, but, you know, I said, what's the one of many, Ruby, one of many.
So yeah, and you've got a safeguard, you know, and I'm looking at that as a paradigm of life, and as adults, and in life, we have to learn how to prevent disasters. And this is what parents learn to do with their children. When they start to climb and lean, they lean forward and they slip and they bang their head.
Yeah.
You've got a glass table some pointy ornament sticking out. They're going to smash their head. And it's horrible, some of the things that happen to kids.
I know. Just in a flash.
So you've got to never take your eye off either.
Yeah.
You've got to watch them like a hawk, literally.
Yes.
Because it's usually in that moment that you turn your head that they get into trouble.
Well, most houses aren't kid-proof.
No.
When we were walking today, I was thinking, oh, what would be the perfect, you know, if I had like all these different floors, because we saw these houses being built on the side of the mountain, and I was thinking, boy, you know, if I could have the perfect house, I'd have like 3 or 4 floors, and one floor would be totally kid-proof, that they could play on the balcony, but then it would be all like glassed in so they could get natural sunlight, and everything would be kid-proof. It would be all spongy.
I think instead of kid-proofing the house, that they should make little suits for kids.
Yeah.
That they look like sort of combination bear suits and astronaut suits.
Yeah, there you go.
So they get a round helmet and everything's blown up so they can just run right into a wall or smash into anything and they're protected inside.
I guess you got to just make sure, as you mentioned before, just your kids have to get through the teenage years alive. You know, to that age when they turn 17, 18, or 19, and they made it through alive, unscathed, maybe the odd bump and bruise and scar and scrape and stuff like that. But, you know, it's not easy.
Well, we were successful. We got our 3 children through those challenging times, you know, not only as infants and children and toddlers, but also as teenagers.
Yeah.
With each successive decade, there are new issues that come up and new challenges, but it's something that adds to the blessing in our lives. And now with the grandkids, we can help them do what we figured out. And this is the value of being a great grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
It's dispensing knowledge, provided that they're able to receive it. And it's maintaining the relationship with your kids.
Yes.
So that you don't get too intrusive.
Exactly.
You know, who likes in-laws that come in and behave that way?
No, thanks.
I don't.
But all parents go through this, and I know that anybody's listening. I mean, you've all been through this yourself. And I mean, the first child is the scariest, and then the second, then the third, and then the fourth. And it's like, big deal. No big deal when, you know.
Yes.
So, but you don't make a big deal out of it when a kid hurts himself. And that's what she was fine with her first little boo-boo. She cried for like 2 seconds, and then it was over.
Yeah.
I put lice on it, some arnica, natural remedies are always good to have a natural first aid kit.
Yeah, and those are just like impact injuries that happen by them exploring and developing. Now, what is wonderful too is when your child or grandchild is growing up with good nutrition, because a lot of the diseases and infections and skin disorders and health problems that children have are absolutely caused by a crappy diet, right? Their blood sugar, their brain chemistry, these emotional disorders, these mental diseases, all of these acronyms they use to label children in school, learning problems, right? So it's wonderful to see the effects and influence of optimum nutrition, juices and homeopathic remedies and dietary supplements and whole foods in the kids.
Absolutely. And speaking of diet, how's your diet going?
It's great. Once again, I am experiencing, as a result of the deletion, the 100% deletion of grains in my diet, I'm not a big grain eater anyway.
No, you're not.
And when we do eat grains in this house, usually alternative grains that are whole, you know, like spelt and kamut and amaranth and that kind of thing. But no grains means automatically an improvement in insulin sensitivity. And so I'm finding that my sensory organs are absolutely improving. Like today when we were walking, my hearing has increased, my sense of taste. So I think that it's really incredible that when we decrease our intake of grains and foods that are generated by agriculture and lean more on like green leafy vegetables and wild game and flesh and tissue proteins and animals, we return back to the paleo state, to the hunting-gathering state of which our origin has been proven beyond any issue of controversy. We have a hunting-gathering origin as a species of life form on this planet. And it seems like everyone I know that we know who has troubles with health, when you get them off the dairy and the grains, right, and get them onto clean proteins and green colored plants, they always improve.
Yeah, and they always say, I don't know why, but I just really feel so much better. Isn't that fun? They just don't get sick anymore. It's just really funny how that is. Anyways, that's great, Corey. Yeah, but I'm going to be going through this with you. You got a little paste.
Well, I replaced the starches at night that I normally might have to replenish my glycogen with no starches and 20 minutes of stairs.
Yeah.
So the fat is literally melting off. And I've got to get down from, say, 10, 11% down to like 5 or 6, even 4%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a slow, gradual process, but it absolutely is working. And you can see the consistency.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm feeling good. Yeah. My protein is up to about 400 grams a day.
Yeah,
I'm having this fantastic shake where I just take 4 scoops of whey isolate, put some hemp protein in with ice and blend it, add absolutely nothing else.
Yeah.
And it's a nice shake at nighttime I take. That's the last thing I have. Wonderful.
And it's just getting into the habit of it, you know. I mean, over the holidays, it's, you know, we kind of do slack off a little bit in the way that, you know, there's a little bit more cocktailing going on, and I've done all the baking, and which we don't normally do. So you kind of wean yourself off of it. But the way that you're doing it is really the best way to do it. And it's healthy. It raises your standard. It doesn't decrease. Anyway, we had a nice family visit with Max and Olivia, our other two grandkids, and they're all growing up, and everybody's growing up and getting older. And I'm thinking, oh boy, they're all getting older. We must be getting older too, honey. Anyway, we had a lot of fun. We did lots of dancing. Olivia, I bought her the scarf to go around her waist with the little ching ching, little coins on it, and she had a really enjoyed her time. So it was a lot of fun.
No doubt. And we also discovered the ruby grind, I call it. Just beside us, we have what I call the Vernon Mountain. It's a big block of granite. And I took all the kids up there for a hike, and we stood up on top of the mountain, looked out over Vernon. But that's a great thigh buster,
yep,
a great bum reducer.
It's a 5-minute walk.
You know, and I'm noticing, like, whether it's man or woman or child or whatever, if you have excess body fat to lose, it always comes off in the areas you want to lose it last.
Yeah, don't
that's where it goes on first, but it comes off last. You've got to narrow it down, and slowly but surely just keep at it and be true to your diet, trust the science, and you hit a wall, you won't see any loss, but then all of a sudden, bang, you'll lose.
Yeah.
And you just keep plowing through towards the end.
Yeah. It takes about 10 days to really start to see a little teeny weeny bit of it, right?
Yeah, you can feel it, and you can look at it, and I'm pulling the shirt up all the time, looking at those abs, squeezing, pumping, and the workouts are going great. Energy's good, so right on track.
Okay.
Mr. Hawaii, June the 8th.
All right.
Can't wait to go. Fantastic. Okay, so my dear, what is your final word?
My final word is by W. Earl Hall. Science has never drummed up quite as effective a tranquilizing agent as a sunny spring day.